Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Ryan McDowell, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 277 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will, because Rocky and I are back together. It's always a good day when Rocky and I are back together. It's always an even better day when we get visited by the one, the only, the, you know what? Just, he's Ryan. He's Ryan McDowell. That's who he is. We're not going to make
it. Thank you. That's right.
He's not awesome not in every way, deal. Shape, or form. He hasn't helped build this community industry to everything it's become. He's Ryan. He's just
a guy. Ryan.
Just a guy.
That's right. And, the intro was no lie. I do have a trading problem. As I told you guys before we hit record, the problem is I haven't been trading enough or making enough dynasty trades. So, maybe talking trade on here will inspire me to get some deals done before the season kicks off.
Season kicks off before the night ends, Ryan. Even though you have work tomorrow,
that sounds
you might
good
be
too.
Going right to bed after, but because I'm going straight to bed after those, that's for sure. all right, so we have the closest thing we're gonna like. We had the Hall of Fame game last week, and that was okay. That was all right. But we had like real eyes on players this week. We had preseason. We had football that was fun to watch. And I firsthand got to see the just degeneracy that preseason DFS brings out in people. So this past weekend was the FF Expo, which if you have not gone to, just go next year. It is just so much fun to be around. You don't need to be an quote unquote industry person, whatever the heck that means. You don't have to create content. You don't have to anything. If you like fantasy football, it is going to be fun to be there. And I happened to find myself in a living room with Chris Allen, J. Mike, Adam Wilde, Justin Edwards, and Jeff. Oh man, I'm gonna be a jerk and forget it was a Jeff Hicks.
Jeff Hicks. Yep.
Yep. There you go. I almost blanked. Oh man. And the worst part was when I was hugging all of them goodbye, and I'm like, oh man, I don't even know who you are, but I'm gonna hug you anyway. And of course, I know who Jeff is. And then I blank on his last name. So maybe it's a bit. There you go. I'm gonna stick with that one. It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose. And they're watching these games, and Aiden O'Connell is throwing the ball to wide receivers I've never heard of, and they're just flipping out. And I'm like, look, man, I get it. I'm never going to play the kind of money that they probably are right now, but like to be that interested in the preseason with these names of players that may never see the field again, like that sounds like it's kind of worth a little bit of a shot.
I haven't gotten into the preseason DFS too much. Mainly because I'm not great at DFS in general, but, I mean, I get it because, honestly, just gambling on sports, especially sports you might not care about that much in general, it suddenly makes you interested in that game, in that event. So, yeah, maybe we brush off preseason sometimes as not that interesting. But yeah, when you've got a little stake in it, that changes things.
Yeah, and not to mention one of my best friends, his name is Tim O'Connell, has a son named Aiden O'Connell. It's Aiden is spelled differently, but I just don't care. So, like, we need Jimmy G to get benched. Like, I don't want to wish hurt on anybody, but, like, he's, you know, he has enough contracts that he can get benched by this point. So let's get Aiden O'Connell out there, and I'll be a Raiders fan for that one. Though he is a diehard Niners fan and said he will, even if his son did grow up to go in the NFL, he would root for his son's team unless they played the Niners. Like, that's rough, dude. That's like, he has the Niners logo tattooed on his leg, but like,
oh wow,
that's your child. So like, you're saying Super Bowl, like a Super Bowl, you're happy either way, either the Niners win or your son wins a Super Bowl, but like, how do you not root? That's
okay, that's easy to say now. His kid gets in the league. He's rooting for his kid over the 49ers. I don't care.
I mean, but also, he might be like 5, but he needs to bulk up a little bit before he can make the NFL anyway. Okay, so let's move on to things that will actually affect the NFL. And two things that we absolutely saw coming finally came to fruition. And Zeke signed with the Pats and Dalvin signed with the Jets. And I love that we even have two players that I don't need to say full names because like these guys are just their first names. And, you know, we had the Patriots. Well, I think everybody looked at Dalvin at one point, but the Patriots were looking at running backs. The Jets brought in Dalvin before and ended up signing with them. So, I mean, let's take this one at a time. Ryan, does Zeke signing with the Pats give you feelings about Ramondre Stevenson in any way? Because I feel like we finally convinced ourselves that Ramondre could be a thing after all the years of Belichick ruining running backs for us. And Zeke happens. Now, the question is, do you think Zeke is enough to make Ramondre not happen?
Well, I will say I was already kind of worried about Ramondre. I mean, kind of dig into his season last year. It wasn't as efficient as you might expect for what was really a breakout season ultimately for him. We've heard really all offseason about his target share and, you know, how surprising that was. And obviously Damian Harris was out of the lineup for much of the time. It really just felt in retrospect like Belichick and the Patriots' hand was forced a little bit by really having no other option than to use Stevenson as a bell cow, as nearly an every down back. And that's what they did. But it already felt like that was going to change this coming year, whether it was Pierre Strong getting that pass catching role. And then they, you know, they showed some interest in some of these veterans along the way. I think they had Leonard Fournette in for a visit a couple weeks ago. So, you know, now that they finally pull the trigger here on Zeke, I think it's, it just locks in a step backward for Stevenson.
Okay. And then the other side, you're a competing team. You're looking to fill out your roster. Are you willing to send your second for Zeke? Like, let's say you are a competing team. It's a playoff. You want it to be the 212. Are you going to even try and send that away to shore up? I mean, will he be more than depth? Do you think he'll be playable week to week?
I think he'll be playable some weeks, you know, just like last year. It's going to be a matter of good luck finding those weeks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Zeke scored 12 touchdowns in one of the most productive offenses around the league last year. The Patriots had 12 rushing touchdowns total. So this is obviously a step backwards in or a step down in offenses for Zeke. I don't think we can expect him to have that same type of stat line. And even last year when he was in that RB2 range, it was, like I said, it was tough to know what you were getting on a weekly basis. So no, I would not pay a second for him. If I've got that second burning a hole in my pocket, I want to flip it for a veteran. I think I could probably aim higher. I mean, I'd rather have a guy like David Montgomery. I think you could get him for a second potentially if you find that right team matchup in your league. Probably a few other running backs in that range as well.
What about you, Rock?
Yeah, I'm with Ryan. I don't really have much interest in Zeke. I also had a little worry about Ramondre, but it's more – and I mean, this would have been the same worry last year, but they – just that offense. I have no trust in that offense whatsoever. And he managed to produce last year in that offense to be an RB1 overall. But I don't think Zeke affects it that much for me, though. Just I do see him a little bit more as depth. I mean, if you look, like, Pierre Strong might have been the best running back. I just Googled the Patriots running backs, and I don't even really know these other names. J.J. Taylor, I guess I recognize, but is not very good. Kevin Harris, C.J. Marable. These are the guys on the depth chart that I just pulled up. So Zeke, to me, is more depth. He's definitely going to have a something of a role. I guess the biggest worry is he could be the goal line guy. He was better in goal line situations last year than Ramondre was. But I don't see him having that big of a role. So, and I still think Ramondre probably will be the pass catching back there because they don't really have anybody else to fill that role. I don't see Zeke doing it.
Yeah, and I think they brought on Kevin Harris just to confuse people when Damian Harris missed time. Like, oh, Harris is on the field. Let's watch out. Because it worked for me every single time. I'm like, oh, Damian Harris is that number doesn't feel right. And then, no, it was the wrong guy. See, I think I'm with you. And Jason in the chat brings up the point that when it comes to the passing game, we sit here and we talk about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, you've mentioned him a lot, yeah.
Well, let's take a step back. Having an offensive coordinator.
Yes, an actual offensive coordinator.
Does give them a bump, so that offense will most likely be better than it was.
But they still have Mac Jones.
Or Bailey Zappi. I mean, we'll see how that season goes. But like, I think I'm with you, Rock, where I think my biggest issue is I think Zeke's going to be the goal and short line, short yardage and goal line back. And while that doesn't completely take away from Ramondre's work, touchdowns are nice to have. And while I think that offense will be better, I don't think it has the roster to be very good. No. I have faith. Bill O'Brien was a very, very, very good offensive coordinator. We have such sour tastes in him because of how bad of a GM he was. But still, and I love me some Juju and... I kind of wish they brought in Hopkins. Maybe Bill Belichick gets Kayshon Boutte back in form of just being a good football player. Who the heck knows? But if they're putting up the kind of season that's just a better than what last year was, but not necessarily great, having the between the 20s running back might not be the greatest thing in the world, especially with the price. Like, I was never fully on board with playing a decent first for Ramondre in the first place, which you had to.
Yeah,
and now I'm definitely not doing it, which means I'm not getting any Ramondre because it would be silly for people holding him to sell him for less at this point. Yeah, but also I'm with Ryan, and I don't really want to pay a second for Zeke. If he starts scoring a touchdown a game, maybe I'll do it when one of my running back gets hurt. But I don't want to do that now.
I think it's going to be like Ryan kind of alluded to with Zeke. There might be a game or two where he scores two touchdowns and has 50 or 60 yards, and he's worthwhile. But I think those are going to be few and far between.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so let's move down to the one that I think that is a little more upsetting to the world, even though they pretty much told us they were doing this anyway. Dalvin signing with the Jets. I don't even know how to lean into this because, first of all, Michael Carter is a good second running back. Why can't you just let this man play? We don't need Dalvin Cook there. Michael Carter did a really good job when Breece was on the field and when Breece wasn't on the field.
I think there's one big reason for this, Russ. Aaron Rodgers.
I thought that's where you were going.
They're enemies. They were on different teams in the same division. They hate each other. No, that's probably what it is. You want to push. You have to push all in right now is what it comes down to with Rodgers. But Rocky, are you worried about Breece Hall, though? Okay, hold on. Two-part question. Do you think this is a statement on Breece's health, even though he just came off the PUP, even though preseason PUP means nothing? And then, during season, do you think Dalvin is still good enough to take work away from Breece?
I do. He's faded a little bit last year, but I still think he's got more in the tank than Zeke does, for instance. And I do think a big part of this was Aaron Rodgers wanting Dalvin on the team. I guess maybe wanting another veteran, not, because we don't know for sure about Breece. But I'm kind of, and I'm obviously, I've already seen this on Twitter or X or whatever the hell we're calling it now, you know, that this could be a buy low window for Breece. And I kind of agree with that. I'm not that worried, and I'm not sure that, I think Dalvin maybe is the number one earlier in the year because of the injury. But I don't think that Breece Hall right now is a better running back than Dalvin Cook is. So, and this should be a pretty good offense. So it doesn't change my value for Breece that much, but I would certainly try and get him cheaper right now if you can.
Ryan, does this give you any strong feelings either way on any of these players?
You know, I mean, the Jets have kind of been telling us that this was going to happen all offseason. I mean, even dating back to the draft when the Lions take Gibbs and the Jets were reportedly going to take him just a couple picks later. And then you end up taking the rookie in the mid rounds. They have flirted with Cook and they've done this really all offseason. So I do think it's a concern for Breece Hall, at least in the short term. You know, at least over, let's say, the first half of the season, possibly the entire season, because I do think the Jets are all in. If there's any doubt that Breece Hall was going to be ready to go and play at that high level that we saw him early last season, then I think that's why they make this move. You know, they obviously they want to make a Super Bowl run here, which sounds crazy when you're talking about the Jets, but that's what they're looking at when you bring in Aaron Rodgers and then he takes the pay cut. That was just another hint that they were going to go after one of these running backs, because it's pretty much all that's left out on the market at this point. So big picture, long term, I'm not worried about Breece. I still would value him as a high-end RB1 in Dynasty. But we might have to wait longer than we wanted. I don't know that you're going to see much of a discount or people panic selling. But like Rocky said, if you see that in your league, obviously take advantage of it.
Yeah, in August, Superflex ADP, Breece Hall is coming in at RB6, which, oh man, Gibbs jumping up to 5. Oh, I love Baquon. Austin Eckler up at 2. I love that we're getting into point scoring season and this is actually happening, even though I just look over Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 11. Those are the two I look for once we start filling our lineups. Those are the two players. Where do they land? Because they need to be up there. And I love seeing Eckler at 2. But I feel like Breece at 6 is probably right until we see him and he looks awesome. But I think I'm with both of you where not really worried long term, because Breece is awesome. We saw Breece be awesome.
Yeah.
And good offenses is good for running backs. And good defenses is also good for running backs.
He was awesome in a bad offense last year, yeah.
So we are, you know, hoping that this offense does click like it should. If the defense just does what it did last year, they almost brought the Jets to the playoffs with they had people playing quarterback. But to say they had a quarterback is a bit of a false statement. So, I'm still all in. I would still pay regular price for Breece right now, which is probably in that 2 first area. But on the flip side, like I was saying before, asking if you pay that second for Dalvin, I think I do on this one. Like, Dalvin did look slower, but he still did sort of Dalvin things with the workload that he got in Minnesota. And that's what you're looking at, like getting. All right, maybe we can't send a 212 for Dalvin, but if we can send a mid second, I still think that's pretty on point for what you want in your competing teams at a price that you won't care about when you're in, you know, making the playoffs with this guy on your team. So I'm still trying to talk myself that this isn't the biggest bad thing in the world for Breece this season, because I just, you know, I am never for trading for running backs in the non-point scoring season, but I've been getting Breece all over the place this offseason because that's really good.
And it's almost the point scoring season now, Ref. So.
It is the point scoring season now, but it wasn't 2 months ago. I want it to not be the biggest deal, but I'm going to take the fresh legs approach and be like, maybe this is good because it'll keep Brees nice and rested. But I think, yeah, you might need to lower your expectations a bit, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, as far as the value, looking at this is our single quarterback ADP. I know you were looking at Superflex, but even after he suffered that injury in the fall, his value didn't really change much. He was the RB6 in September prior to that injury. He was the RB6 in October. I believe that was right around the time he got hurt. November, RB5, December, RB3, and he stayed as either the RB3 or RB4 in every month since this past December. So, you know, if you're hoping for that buy low window, it's probably not coming, at least not yet. If we get to week two or three and he's inactive and Dalvin's having some good games, maybe we see him fall, you know, to RB8, something like that. I think that would be the biggest discount you could expect.
Oh man, if we get to a world where I can trade for Breece Hall for like a first and a second, I'm going to have so many Breece Hall shares, and it's going to be glorious because, again, that dude is good at football. All right, so now we get to the part where I don't like doing work and I get to ask our guest, which do you want to do next? Do you want to do TradeX trades or listener questions?
Let's do those trades. I'm ready for those.
Okay, Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, which there are none, so it doesn't matter. Okay, in Trade Addicts 2, though, we have a relevant trade because Ramondre Stevenson got traded for Joe Mixon and Romeo Doubs. I have been terrified to try and acquire Joe Mixon on teams or the team. Well, I was about to put that in plural, but the team I have Joe Mixon on. You know, I was ready for the Bengals to cut him. It's been an entire offseason storyline that they're not, that his dead cap is low and his salary is high, mm-hmm. and they brought in all these young running backs and it just never happened. And while Mixon looked bad for 17 out of 18 games last season, he's still the running back for the Bengals, and well, running back extraordinaire Samaje Perine is now gone. So what are your thoughts on Joe Mixon and Romeo Doubs for Ramondre Stevenson?
Yeah, I mean, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, this would have looked like a slam dunk for the Stevens side, right? And now it's certainly worth discussing. I don't know, did this trade happen post Zeke signing, Russ?
No, this one happened.
This was before.
A bunch of days ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I assume that was the case. I think with these running backs, and I've said it a few times, I know it's kind of become a common stance to take, or a common way to view these running backs outside of those elite guys like Breece Hall, like Bijan Robinson. You've got to look at these guys and value them a year at a time. And I think at this point, I'd rather have Joe Mixon than Ramondre Stevenson for the 2023 season. And Romeo Doubs is pretty much a non-factor for me, but yeah, I'll take the extra player. I think I'm taking the Mixon side here, which I'm kind of surprised at myself.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I always have this avoidance of same position, same tier trades because, I mean, for the most part, that you don't want losers in trades. Yeah. You want everyone to kind of feel like a winner. When you're one for one, someone's going to kind of lose. And Romeo Doubs doesn't change that what this is.
Right.
But I think you're right. Like, well, no. See, the thing is, like, if this was 3 days ago, maybe I'd do this just to get younger. Yeah. But now, right. I think you're right. Like, unfortunately now, I think I just ride with Mixon since he's still on the team and there's nothing there to take things away. You know, like, I'm not worried about anybody else in the backfield besides Joe Mixon. Like, I know right. They have some young guys that could be good. But it's still Joe Mixon, and I'm cool with that. Rocky, what do you think about that one?
I always hate when Ryan's on and I don't agree with Ryan and you in this case. I would think I'd rather have the Ramondre side here just because of the youth. And I don't have a lot of confidence in Joe Mixon. It seems like definitely last year, a lot of his season totals were based off that one big 55-point game he had 1 week the five touchdowns or whatever it was. And despite how good that offense is, it doesn't seem to benefit Joe Mixon that much for some reason. Like, he has his games here and there, but he has his fair share of duds. And maybe Ramondre will too. Again, I didn't love the offense, but I just feel like Joe Mixon is not good enough for me that I'm going to send Ramondre Stevenson for him. It's basically what it comes down to me. I don't have enough faith that he's going to be an RB1 or something like that. And I think there's still the chance, at least, that Ramondre is.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, as far as the age, you know, Stevenson's older than we might expect based on when he came into the league. Stevenson, 25 and a half. Joe Mixon just turned 27. And sure, at this point, we expect this is probably Joe Mixon's last year in Cincinnati based on the offseason that he's had between the contract issue and a couple of off-the-field things that did not look great for him. But I mean, you know, the Patriots are already adding competition, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think we could look a year from now and these guys are going to be valued similarly in that low end RB2, you know, maybe even high end RB3 range.
Yeah. I'm just not convinced Mixon even outscores Stevenson this year, I guess.
Yeah. That was kind of my point, is whoever you like best for this year. I don't think Dobbs makes enough of a difference to matter, honestly. I mean, he's basically a throw in this deal. So whoever you like better for 2023 is who I would take. And at this point, that's Mixon for me.
Not with Dobbs specifically, but I'm just curious, Ryan, while we have you here, what is your take on like that whole Green Bay offense situation? Probably more Christian Watson would be more the guy to talk about than Dobbs. I'm just curious, like, what's your take on Watson and Love and what are you doing with those Green Bay players? If you have them, are you looking to acquire any of them? Are you looking to sell them, or what are you looking to do?
Yeah. I mean, this is one that could certainly go wrong because it feels like it all kind of depends on how Jordan Love turns out. And we've had some glimpses, but we don't really know.
I have no clue what to think about Jordan Love.
Right. And that's understandable. I'm kind of buying in, honestly, to Jordan Love, to the entire offense, to Christian Watson. I really like Jaden Reed quite a bit. I think Jaden Reed could actually lead this team in targets, possibly in catches. You know, Watson is that he's that touchdown threat. He's going to be the guy we want from a fantasy standpoint for sure. But I think Jaden Reed could be that consistent threat. And honestly, I think he could kind of take Romeo Dobbs' job away from him.
Okay, yeah, I'm just curious to get your take, because like I said, I'm not even going to comment, because I just, like I said, I'm totally like up in the air on that. I don't feel super confident in Jordan Love, but like, who knows? He could, you know, we haven't seen that much of him. It could be interesting this year, and like you said, if Jaden Reed is something, that definitely would help him. But we'll move on to our next trade, which is also in TA2, and this one kind of surprised me a little bit when I saw it come across my email, but Kenny Pickett for Marvin Mims and a 24th third. So somebody must really not like, I don't like Kenny Pickett, but Marvin Mims and a 24th third seems a little, I hate Kenny Pickett to me.
Yeah. Brian? Feels a little light for sure. I'm with you. Not a huge Kenny Pickett fan. He's down at quarterback 20 in DLF ADP right now. But we're still talking about super flex leagues, and we all know how difficult it is to get a starting quarterback, especially a young starting quarterback. I really like Marvin Mims, a guy I've been targeting in the second round, really all off season. But if I could get that, you know, if I could get Kenny Pickett for him, that's a pretty easy deal. I don't know if we have to debate this one too much.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you there. Like I said, I don't like Kenny Pickett a lot either, but it's a quarterback. It's super flex. And I was listening. I was kind of catching up on some of my late round quarterback episodes, and he had one of the, like JJ pointed out, he had one of the lowest TD percentages in years upon years. Like, it was ridiculously low, and it's probably going to regress, and they're going to score more touchdowns this year. It's not, it doesn't necessarily mean he was that bad. It's just the TD percentage is often sort of a random thing that can fluctuate from year to year. It's why we saw Deontay Johnson get zero touchdowns last year. That's just sort of a fluke thing. So just from natural regression, that offense is probably going to improve. And even if he's not that great, he's going to probably be worth more to you than Marvin Mims, unless Mims just pops off big time this year.
Yep.
In case just anybody listening, Russ had to step away for a minute, so we're just going to keep plowing through these trades. We got one other one in TA6, also involving Marvin Mims. Not as quite as major of a piece in this trade, though. But Devin Achane, Marvin Mims, and 2/24 firsts for Bijan Robinson and a 25-3rd. And to anybody who listens to the podcast on a regular basis, J. Mike got B.J. Robinson in this trade. J. Mike's team is ridiculous, and now he adds Bijan Robinson because, of course, he does. But we've talked about J. Mike's team ad nauseum on here. I mean, Ryan.
Is this the one where a couple of years ago he had, like, the entire first round?
Yes. That league. And his team was already really good, even with all the 12 first-round picks, and he's just, like, dominating that league. Like, we joke that J. Mike's second team would probably beat all of us. So, but this is a big one here. What do you think? Is that a fair return for Bijan, or what do you think?
You know, I mean, anytime you're getting two first plus, that's nothing to lad or to ignore, but I would want more if I'm selling Bijan. This is a win for J. Mike, in my opinion. I like Achane. I already mentioned liking Mims as a rookie target, and obviously you always want to acquire those first, stack those first rounders. But this is why you stack those first rounders. If you can get a stud player that's running in Dynasty right now, then that this becomes again a pretty easy deal to pull the trigger on the Bijan side here.
Yeah, I'm with you. For a little more context, those look like likely playoff 24 firsts. Maybe not the top team in the league, but 6, 7, 8 in that range probably. Okay. So, right. Yeah. So that kind of makes me like, it doesn't appear that those firsts are likely to be in the 102, 103, 104 range. So that kind of makes me like the Bijan side even more. I'm with you. I like Achane a little bit. I did not love him coming out, but he seems to have dodged the bullets, at least of Dalvin and Zeke. And right. I think Fournette's like the only guy left out there that could sign anywhere of real significance. And how significant really is he at this point? So, so it does seem like he'll have a decent role there. I like that offense, but still, it's Bijan. And, we saw last year, Arthur Smith, loves to run the ball. So I think we're going to get a pretty nice season out of Bijan and many more good seasons to come. I'd want a little more. I want to get a stud player in that deal. The other team is rebuilding, so I kind of get it. But I just want something more significant even than the firsts, like something that I can hang my hat on where I'm moving Bijan. It just seems like sort of four quarters for a dollar to me.
I mean, I think we could have put in, you know, there could have been another first rounder on that side. And I still have gone Bijan, honestly. That's, that's how one-sided that one was, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So we'll move on to TA8. Christian Watson, who we mentioned earlier. George Pickens and a 24-second. For Christian Watson. And I think Ryan convinced me. I'm on the Watson side here. I'm not sure what to make of Pickens. I liked him a lot coming out, but I expected that, you know, he didn't improve much after, not that Claypool was taking up a ton of targets and things like that, but you would have expected maybe a little bump for Pickens, and he was kind of the same before and after. We did say the offense could tick up. Their offensive line has improved a little bit, and just from natural regression. But I just like what, and Watson was very touchdown dependent last year, but I still like what we've seen. I liked him coming out a lot too. I think I've had him as my wide receiver 5 or 6 in that class. So I think I lean Watson here, but I get the trade down and getting the pick on top. Are you taking the pick there and taking the chance on Pickens, or are you like Watson?
I'm probably taking Watson here as well. Honestly, neither of these guys are players I've been targeting in trades this offseason. I wouldn't necessarily label them as guys I'm avoiding or totally staying away from, but I just think there's enough concerns about them after what we saw as rookies to have trouble paying that full price. And for Watson, he's up to wide receiver 19 in DLF ADP. He is over 24 years old now going into his second year. You know, that's, I guess that's one advantage picking as still a 22 year old. But yeah, I guess I'm taking Watson here. This is a close one.
Yeah. I think it's a solid trade, you know, adding the second on top of Pickens. But yeah, I think I'd rather. I think I see more upside in, I think, in Watson than I do in Pickens. Again, with the Jordan Love giant question mark, I think might even help with that. Like Pickett, I think we're all a little down on after seeing him last year, and a lot of us weren't high on him coming in. But with Jordan Love a giant question mark, I feel like I just see more upside in Watson. So I'm with you there. And yeah. We got one more trade here. Will Levis, this is a weird one to me. TA 11, Will Levis for Gabe Davis. I've been a vocal anti Will Levis guy, but this seems low even to me for again, a quarterback and super flex. I'm not even confident Will Levis ever is even really starting beyond maybe a few games this year. If Tannehill is, you know, not very good and the team isn't doing well, but I think they are going to, I think they're going to play Tannehill as long as he's healthy until they're mathematically eliminated. They don't seem to think they're a bad team. They may be, but they don't. They don't. They're not behaving like they're a bad team. So, what do you think, Ryan?
Well, yeah, I mean, there we talked about the Jets pushing all in. I wouldn't say the Titans are quite going all in, but you're right. They're definitely acting and making moves like they are playoff contenders. So,
yes.
We'll see how that plays out. But, I mean, taking Will Levis in the second, whether it's this year or next year, that does tell me that he's going to get a shot to start at some point. And, I mean, these are really Will Levis and Gabe Davis. These are really a couple players the community really seems to dislike lately. And I get it for both players, honestly. But – ultimately, I'm going to take quarterback. I think this is a pretty cheap way to get some access to a rookie quarterback who was that early day two pick. And, you know, ultimately, I'm a Kentucky homer, so I'm going to cheer for Levis and take that side.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, though. Like, this is I don't like Will Levis, but this is a super cheap way to take a shot on him. To me, because like you said, I don't think Gabe Davis has had plenty of time to prove to us that he's more than a, I guess maybe a best ball receiver who will get you a couple good weeks a year or something like that. But I'm curious too, what your what was your evaluation on Levis coming out? Do you like him more than some people do? I feel like he was pretty widely dissed coming out this year anyway. Before he even got drafted second, I think a lot of people. He was definitely polarizing, at least, but there was definitely a lot of detractors. But I'm most curious where you stand on Levis as a Kentucky homer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tried to take my blue glasses off to analyze him, and I mean, there's, you know, he gave Kentucky fans, he gave dynasty players lots of reasons to be encouraged by his play, and lots of reasons to push him down the board, and maybe. Some of those opinions, like you were saying, that maybe he never really earns that consistent starting job. We saw ups and downs over these past seasons at Kentucky. I like the situation. I like that coaching staff in Tennessee. So that, that I think is a good thing. And as much as, you know, I'm sure it was frustrating or disappointing for him to fall to the second round, landing that spot where he can sit potentially up to the full season, I think that's a good thing for Levis. So, I mean, he's still a player I'm buying in on, especially at his lower cost. I mean, he's obviously lost value since the draft, and based on what we expected those super flex rookie drafts to look like, where he might be a mid first rounder, and now he's more like a mid second rounder. So I'm buying the discount on Will Levis, and gonna watch how this one plays out over the next year.
Okay, yeah, I'll let you take the chance on him, Ryan, and that's okay. We'll see how it goes. But we'll finish up with our listener questions here. We have a few. First, for Herm's always good to chime in when we send out the listener questions tweet. Herm's NFL says he just wants to hear some fun expo stories, not going to lie, which leaves me out. So I'll ask that to Ryan in a second. But also Russ asked, I think, about what you go for when you go for brunch, whether you go for the breakfast food, because he always asks some random questions on the tweet. But and Herm says, also, I always get breakfast food at brunch because waking up for normal breakfast hours is too difficult. Chicken and waffles hits different at like noon or 1 p.m. So first, Ryan, any fun expo stories? Because I have none because I was not able to make it this year. So I did love getting to meet you and Russ and everyone last year, but I did not make it this year.
Yeah, I mean, the expo was a great time for sure. Russ mentioned that earlier in the show. You know, I know our buddy Matt Price had a good story, a crazy story that involves some an amusement park and some bad weather. He spent basically the entire day trying to go ride some roller coasters and pretty much got washed out. So ended up being a rough day for Matt and John Bosch and those guys. I don't know if I have any fun stories. I wish I did. I had fun hanging out with a bunch of people in the fantasy football space, but you know, it's just another good weekend. I got to participate in the Kings Classic draft and auction. Draft went really well. Auction was not such a success. I think we had $10 left and needed 8 players still to fill out our roster. So that's that might be a rough season, or at least rough start to the season for that auction league. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say it was great to meet people. You know, Matt Price, I'd met before, of course, as a co-host on the DLF podcast, but he made his first appearance at Expo. JJ Zacharyson came for the first time I got to meet him. Same thing with Matt Harmon.
I saw that. I'm so sad I missed those two.
yeah, great guys for sure. And, you know, that's really kind of the story of every expo, or every chance you get to spend time with these folks, is just meeting new people and kind of building friendships. We have that a little bit through Twitter, through fantasy leagues, and then to get to hang out in person just makes it even better.
Yeah. And like I said, I wasn't there this year, but so I'll just chime in and say, if you ever have the chance, definitely go and do it. I plan to try and make it next year. I got to do it last year, had so much fun. I've heard people describe it as like it's like your Twitter timeline come to life, which is exactly what it is. Yeah, it's so cool.
That's fair.
To see all these different people, even like not even like content, like a guy I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, Toronto Dave, is not a content yep. creator, but he supports a lot of the content creators, and I got to meet him, and I thought that was so cool. Like, oh, it's Dave. So yeah, it's just such a good time. And even if you're not like a super, I'm not a super outgoing person. Like, I can talk about football all day here, which makes it easier at the expo too, I guess. But I'm a bit of an introvert. But just you get there and everyone's just talking fantasy football, and then you get to talking other stuff, and it becomes easier the more you go along. So if you ever have the chance, I definitely recommend going to do it. So let's get to the next question though, from at BJunkin87. We'll first get to his brunch takes, which is always breakfast. Adding a breakfast twist to any food makes it better, i.e. just add bacon, which I totally agree with. Bacon makes anything better. And then he says, two eggs over easy, bacon, cheesy hash browns, and wheat toast with coffee. Oh, Russ also asked best favorite board game, which he said is Risk. Ryan, first we'll get these out of the way because Russ always likes to talk about his random questions. A brunch guy, are you more? And I hate that he put a food thing in here because I have the worst food takes ever, and I'm gonna have one here in a minute. But are you more of a breakfast guy at brunch or a lunch guy at brunch?
You know, I'm not really much of a brunch guy in general, but
that was my take that I thought was gonna be awful.
No, I don't mind brunch. It just, it just never works out, I guess. But when I do have the chance, it's I'm still going breakfast food. So it kind of seems like I'm in line with these other guys responding. So I guess that's good news. But favorite board game? I don't even know. You know, I hung out with Matt Price. I hung out with Eric Dickens, DLS guys, and those two are board game superstars. I mean, they know it. Yeah, they know every game. They play all the crazy strategy games that I've never heard of, and
just say Matt knows games I've never heard of. Yes.
yeah. So I'm not even going to say a favorite game because they'd probably just laugh at me.
And I'm with you. I'm not really a brunch. I haven't really done many brunches, but I would probably lean towards the breakfast as well. I'm a big French toast guy, so I'd be French toast and bacon. But board game, I'm with you too. Like, I don't know if I play a lot of board games. Like, I play games, like I have family game nights and stuff, but I don't think they're like Risk and Monopoly and things like that. They're more word games, or I guess maybe Scattergories. Does that count as a board game? I don't know.
Yeah, that counts. I think that counts.
I'll go with that one, and that's one we play a lot. So I'll go with that one. But the football question he had, the fantasy question, was, has Ryan been able to perfect a dynasty version of Sniper Active yet?
Not exactly. So Sniper Active was a redraft league that I started a couple of years ago. Really that kind of born from Vampire League. I've been with Matt Price. We keep talking about Matt tonight, but I was in Matt's Redless 3 league, which was my first Vampire League that I took part in, and honestly just quickly became one of my favorite leagues. And the weekly investment in possibly getting to steal a player from another team was kind of addictive. So I wanted to make another league similar to that. Sniper Active is, I would say, part Vampire, part Guillotine. The lowest scorer each week is eliminated from the league. Of course, that's the Guillotine feature. If you win your week matchup, you get to steal a player from the team you beat. Everybody gets to do that, not just one team. So that's the Vampire piece. I had talked about trying to turn that into a dynasty league. Didn't quite get there, but I took a few of those rules along with a few other Vampire rules, and I made a new league called Death Becomes You. We're actually just wrapping up the startup auction. It's three copies, two Vampires, three different divisions. One of those divisions is Vampire. One is Sniper Active. Anybody can steal from anybody else. And then the third is a concept that Dan Myler had for a steal league called License to Steal, where there is a Vampire, but then there's also some other licenses or options for other teams to steal players as well. So it's going to be a crazy league. I'm excited to get that one off the ground.
Yeah, I think you and Bosch are the most creative people in the Dynasty community in coming up with different league ideas. So that one sounds real interesting, real crazy. So it should be fun to see how it plays out. But in the chat, before we move on to our last listener question here, Roman asks, Marvin Mims or Jaden Reed, Ryan?
Oh, I think they're back-to-back in my rankings, actually. I'll say Mims, but they're really in the same tier for me. Both guys I'm looking for in that early second round range.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think I would go with Mims there too. I feel like he's got a little more explosiveness to him than Jaden Reed might. So I would lean that way. Yeah. So let's finish up with our last listener question. Again, for those listening, Russ did have to step away for family issues. So I think we're just going to finish up with me and Ryan here. But it's from at Bueno Fantasy with Dalvin, Kamara, and Zeke going from value to dust in a span of 2 years. What are we doing with RBs nearing the cliff? You cashing out while you can, riding them into the sunset. And of course, he answered the questions of he also was a breakfast food guy. And also Ticket to Ride, he said, was his board game. He says, my wife loves Lords of the Waterdeep, which I've never heard of. So maybe Matt knows that one. I don't know. But
I'm sure he does.
But what about these RBs nearing the cliff? Are you trying to catch? You seem like to me like you're probably cashing out before they get close to that cliff. But what are you saying here, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean that's the idea, I think. But the cliff keeps getting earlier and earlier, right? The cliff used to be 30 years old, then it was 28. Now players are turning 26, and we're getting anxious
for running backs,
running back specifically.
As soon as they get to that second contract, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, looking at the guys in that RB2 range right now, I mean, Derrick Henry obviously sticks out like a sore thumb at nearly 30 years old. He's definitely a player I would be riding out at this point if I've got a contending team. And then, you know, ultimately that's really the answer to the question. If you are contending and you've got a player that you believe will give you that, you know, that chance to win a title, that chance to make a deep playoff run, consistent production, then you ride them out. If you're rebuilding, you got a productive struggle team, whatever it might be, you don't really want any of these running backs, honestly. Right. So absolutely start looking to trade them. I mean, Josh Jacobs is an interesting one because still just 25 years old, but we've seen even after that career year last season, we've seen the value. We've seen him actually lose value because of this holdout situation and the uncertainty about his future.
I agree with you. Josh Jacobs is an interesting one, and I was just looking at some of the ADP. I was curious. What about, not that he's necessarily nearing the cliff, but he is 26, hasn't gotten a lot of usage, but people are pretty high on him right now. Tony Pollard, would you be looking to cash out there? Or are you looking to, if you're a contending-ish team, at least, you know, in that you think you're going to be a playoff team, are you just holding him, or would you maybe be looking to trade down to someone else and pick something else on top? Or what are you looking with Tony Pollard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, like seemingly everybody else, excited to see what Tony Pollard does this year and how he can follow up his big season last year. But you're right. I mean, this time next year, fast forward 1 year, and now he's 27 years old. Yeah. And right, he's on that franchise tag, so potentially not with the Cowboys. I think there are some reasons to look to flip him. I don't want to go too far, right? I don't want to go too far down the list. If I can use him to buy low on Jonathan Taylor, I would certainly be looking to do that. Jacobs would be a guy I would be willing to take on, especially if we get some good news on him regarding his status this season. You know, we don't have to go too far down that list before it really drops. I mean, like Derrick Henry is RB 16. You feel great about him if you're a contender. Damian Pierce, RB 18. And then Miles Sanders and Rashad White, Cam Akers, James Cook. Like, it falls off pretty quickly. So if I am moving Tony Pollard, I may be looking to move way down at running back, but also either get a pick or a wide receiver. So maybe I'm willing to move all the way down to a guy like Alexander Mattison or Alvin Kamara or David Montgomery, but I want a starting level wide receiver as well.
Right. Or you could probably get a first or something on top of that as well. If that's what you're looking for. This kind of veers off the question entirely, cause this is not a guy nearing the clip, but it's just a name I was going to do when you were doing, looking down the ADP at guys. And I just, another guy I just sort of want to get your take on where you're at on him, which is Kenneth Walker with Charbonnet coming in. And even JSN coming in. I mean, they now have three really good wide receivers, it appears. You know, Lockett's getting up there, but he's still a solid player. And they have another running back. So, and last year, Walker during the season was, or towards the end of the season, was probably like the RB2 in Dynasty at that point, or close to it. So,
yes, he was.
So, where are you at on Walker at this point?
Well, and like everybody else, he's lower than he was 6 months ago for me.
Yeah.
I think that's obvious with Charbonnet addition. And it seems like we've really dug into his game, right? I say we, the collective we, the fan community, and really noticed and kind of dug out some of these inefficiency stats and how much he struggled in short yardage. And, you know, it just makes you kind of understand why they might make that move to take Charbonnet on day two there. So, I mean, at his new price, he's RB10 right now at DLF. Charbonnet is RB25. At those prices, I want both of those players. We've seen the value drop really on both of them because of the expected competition. I don't mind to have both of those guys on my dynasty roster.
Okay, and Russ actually has been able to make it back, which I wasn't expecting. But Russ, we're pretty much finished up the show sheet, so.
All right, so you might as well just, we talked about Mixon and Dubs for Stevenson, so let's just run it back. Okay, but most importantly, which size did you guys go with, Pickett or Mims in the third?
We both went easily Pickett.
Sweet.
Easily Pickett.
And what about Will Levis for Gabe Davis?
We both pretty much went easily Levis.
Yes. Go Russ.
Even I will take the quarterback in those situations. So.
Oh, man. But I need to. What about the Bijan trade?
Again, we both were pretty heavy on the Bijan side.
I was sitting there while this was getting negotiated because I'm sure Rocky told you this was J. Mike who has.
Yep.
The dynasty of dynasty yep. acquiring.
He told me it was. He told me it was Jay Mike that got Bijan. I don't know who the other team.
Well, it was Adam Wilde.
It was Wilde. Wilde is trying to blow up his team because you have to have to do what Jay Mike did pretty much to have a chance against him. And watching this happen,
that makes sense.
Watching this happen was both exhilarating and terrifying.
So you actually got to witness it live, the trade negotiations live and in person.
They were both terrified. It was wonderful to watch. And like, that's how you know it's a good trade. When you're both terrified, you both think that you shouldn't do this. And then you hit send, you hit accept. And you're just like, what did I just do? Why did I do that?
Nope.
And that's even better than both people leaving happy.
Me and Ryan both liked it more than even J. Mike did, apparently, because we thought he got a pretty good deal to get Bijan there.
It was really, it was really hard for him to. He really liked Mims, and
so does Ryan.
Me too. Which really why I hated getting rid of him for Pickett, but I put myself in a situation I didn't have a choice. But it was like, and of course, J. Mike is J. Mike, so he had like four different firsts. So choosing which first, they had Matt Price choose which first because they couldn't agree. So they had.
I mentioned they both look like potential playoff firsts, correct? That's what I mentioned when I talked about the trade. One's Mayan.
One was early mid, one was mid late, is sort of how they felt, where there's a chance one might be early, most likely lands up in the middle. The other one will most likely be late, but could end up in the middle. So, like, that was like the compromise. And that's when you don't know what to do, you do one of two things. Shoot for the middle or close your eyes and press buttons. And they were not in the place of closing their eyes and pressing buttons. So they had back in the open bar days, they used to just give everyone new Twitter handles. This is at the FF Arbiter because Matt Price was the middleman in between them choosing the firsts and then listening to why Matt chose those specific firsts. It really was actually a wonderful masterclass in trading that like, I wish that was a panel. Like, that would have been great. Like, if we could have recorded that and showed that at the expo, that would have been gold.
I would have loved to be there for that. But yeah, it sounds amazing.
All right. So did you go through all of the listener questions yet?
Yes, we did. If you wanted to chime in on brunch and board games, we already did that too. But
okay. Did either of you actually say lunch food at brunch?
No.
No.
Yeah, like, of course, Scott Fish got a burger because... I don't know. He was the one person we went out for brunch and he was the one person that got lunch. And I got like the pure normal breakfast. I didn't even play around. I wasn't like joking around with lunch. I went straight breakfast food. And I agree with all. Everyone said that. Though Ben, who is B. Junkins, cheesy hash browns. I want cheesy. I've never had cheesy hash browns and I want cheesy hash browns.
Oh, yeah. those are good.
And
you got to get some of those.
Luis, who's Bueno Fantasy, saying some sort of skillet. That's, oh man. Like, you could put it on a plate and it's okay, but you put it in a cast iron skillet and you throw it in something covered in cheese and it melts all over everything. It's a little greasier because it's in the skillet. And that's what I'm going to go do tomorrow. I'm going to leave work and go get a, well, I'm not leaving work because I work from home, but.
I also strongly agree with B. Junkin. Just add bacon to anything, and it's perfect. Yeah,
very fair enough in general. And the reason I asked the board game question was because there's a bar in Canton called Milestones, which they have gourmet hot dogs, which are fantastic. I think the most popular one that whenever we go, everyone gets the peanut butter and jelly dog. It's peanut butter, jelly, and it has honey on it. I mean, Zach calls it a dessert dog, I guess, but like. Whenever, no matter how many I order, that's the last one I eat. So it's kind of like dessert. So I guess that works. But mostly it's just because I know that's the good one. I know that's the one that I know I like. It's delicious. It's wonderful. So I save it for the end. But also, their walls are lined with board games. And normally, if it were me by myself, I would have no, or, you know, amongst us normies, we would have no idea what to do. We just happened to bring Matt Price with us. So...
Matt came up quite a bit on this podcast while you were gone, Russ.
Yeah, so I learned about a cool game called Splendor, which was a lot of fun, where it's a bunch of card-based things where you buy gems to build points. And I mean, not to brag, but I happen to have destroyed Matt and Dwight Peebles. Just putting it out there.
Congrats.
That's all I'm looking for. Thank you. Thank you. All right, well, man, like I... Now that I feel caught up, thank you, everyone. Rocky, I'm not going to do anything else. You close the show, Rock.
Okay, well, I told Russ I was going to do this. I just want to plug real quick. I have a redraft league that I run every year. No, Rocky,
you let Ryan say his stuff first, and then you say your stuff.
Oh, you're right. I should let Ryan say his stuff, and then I plug my thing. I'm sorry. Yes. Ryan, we didn't do it at the beginning. Why don't you tell everybody, well, they know who you are, but what you do and where they can find what you do, which they also know, but we should plug it anyway.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always fun to chat with you guys. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23. You can find all of my work at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And you can listen to the LF podcast along with the Locked On Dynasty podcast.
There you go.
I know the answer. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have Commish Pod? That's
Oh, yeah. I want to know that, too.
I mean...
Yeah, well, I'm glad you know the answer. I don't know if I really know the answer.
Like,
yeah, I guess that's the answer.
And you know,
we need to make some time.
Bosch and I was like, you know, we could be team this, but no one would be nearly as interested in listening to me and John keep talking as they would for Scott and Ryan. So I get.
I hear enough of you, Russ.
I hear enough of you. Like, the fact that I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it, because, man, even I'm tired of hearing my own voice. You know, that means something. All right. Now, Rocky, the floor is yours.
Yes, I just wanted to plug. I do a redraft league every year. It's a fantasy football survivor league, which was talked about on the Commission Impossible pod a year or two ago, where it kind of combines the show Survivor. If you're a fan of the show Survivor and you like fantasy football, check my pinned tweet. You can apply there. It's a lot of fun. People love it. And I'll stop plugging it now. So I guess I'll finish up with the plugging our stuff. Dap Network, dap_network. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see Russ and Ryan's beautiful face. And I'll also be there as well. A lot of other things you can get from the Patreon. Get in the Cool Kids Club, our Discord chat. So it's a lot of fun. And what else do we plug, Russ? Fantasy Cares? What else are we doing here?
Yeah, that's the important stuff. FantasyCares.org/donate. Give us your money. That's what it comes down to. Like, we want your money. Fantasy Cares is awesome. You know, our mainstay is still Toys for Tots. The huge, oh man, we finally sat down and, like, I'm me, so I made spreadsheets about, like, what our plan is for shopping. So many people across the entire country, it is going to, and I've decided that we are no longer going to talk about the amount of toys we get in money. We are talking in cartloads because it is going to be ridiculous. I look forward to all of the pictures of just carts among carts among carts. It is just going to be so, so great. And, you know, we're branching out. The mental health pot-a-thon happened with the Hayden Hurst Foundation. We, you know, donate to them as well. So we are just trying to do everything we can, the best we can with the silly game we have, and, you know, put some good out into the world. But on that note, was there a ghost? Was there just like a ghost in our stream yard? All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to trust Rocky that this is the end of our show sheet and say it's the end of our show.
It is.
And I am going to say, well, A, sorry I missed a chunk of it, and B, good night.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.